This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Wednesday. Aspen City Council approved a controversial housing proposal for Aspen Meadows on Monday. The Aspen Institute, Aspen Music Festival and School, and Aspen Center for Physics want to build a total of 54 affordable housing units on the Meadows campus. But a number of West End residents strongly oppose the project. They worry it will lead to more traffic impacts in the already congested neighborhood. Councillor Christine Benedetti says the traffic problems in the West End require a larger approach.
The concerns are bigger than this project, and they won't be solved by it.
The city is conducting a traffic study in the West End to explore potential mitigation options. The Aspen Music Festival and School will also study traffic impacts during its concerts this summer. They hope to gain more insight on how events impact traffic in the neighborhood. Roaring Fork Safe Passages took to the skies on an eco flight earlier this week. They wanted an aerial view of some of the region's wildlife corridors. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports that's after Picken County Commissioners approved funding for a wildlife crossing feasibility study.
In the last decade, there have been over 300 wildlife vehicle collisions on Highway 82 between the airport and Aspen Village, 107 of them involved elk. So Picken County Commissioners approved $200,000 at their last meeting to assess the feasibility of wildlife crossings. But the group didn't see any elk during their eco flight on Monday. Roaring Fork Safe Passages Executive Director Cecily D'Angelo says elk may be faring better this winter.
Actually, the bad winter might benefit the elk. Bad winter to us. A really cold winter with like a lot more snow, like extended winters, tend to kill off elk populations. So I'm actually optimistic that this might have benefited them a little bit.
Before Roaring Fork Safe Passages begins its study, staff will meet with Colorado Parks and Wildlife and the Colorado Department of Transportation to determine where to study first. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
The Colorado House Finance Committee also passed the Wildlife Collision Prevention Act on Monday. If passed, it would fund projects like Roaring Fork Safe Passages Wildlife Crossings to prevent wildlife collisions and improve road safety. Western Slope water managers are scrambling to soften the blow from the effects of one of the hottest and driest years on record. Aspen Journalism reports that the Colorado River District has several pools of water in Western Slope reservoirs that may help mitigate some of the worst consequences of the drought for its constituents. Staff is asking the board to prioritize municipal water use over agricultural water use and to freeze all new water marketing contracts until staff figures out the best use of the limited water supply. The River District Board will consider the proposed actions at its regular meeting Tuesday. Garfield County Commissioners are urging Glenwood Springs to file a specific land use application for the Southbridge project. The city says the county doesn't have that authority. In response to a letter from commissioners last week, city staff say they'll instead submit a location and extend application, which checks the project against the county's broader land use and environmental plans. Officials say both CDOT and Glenwood Springs have determined the county lacks jurisdiction under state law and that the bridge's environmental impacts have already been reviewed multiple times through the federal NEPA process. In statewide news, a proposal to boost regional and statewide coordination on homelessness issues is moving through the Colorado legislature. Lucas Brady Woods reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
Advocates have said for years that there needs to be more collaboration between communities to effectively reduce and prevent homelessness across the state. The bill aims to facilitate that. It would let local governments form regional groups with each other to share resources and expertise on the issue. Kathy Alderman with the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless worked with lawmakers on the policy.
By coming together regionally, they can address their specific needs and also kind of implement those best practices that are going to be responsive to those needs.
The measure would also lay the groundwork for a comprehensive state-level approach to homelessness. It would require the Department of Local Affairs to develop a proposal for such a strategy and present it to the legislature at the start of next year.
That was Lucas Brady Woods for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. A Colorado case about religious rights and state-funded preschools is heading to the Supreme Court. Lower courts have sided with the state that schools cannot refuse to enroll children of LGBTQ families. CPR's Ava Keon has more.
In 2023, a group of Colorado Catholic preschools and parents sued the state. It came after Colorado refused to allow those schools to participate and get funds from the Universal Preschool Program if they don't follow the state's non-discrimination laws. That requires schools provide equal opportunity to enroll regardless of race, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, income level, or disability. The school says this violates their First Amendment rights. A U.S. Court of Appeals sided with the state. The case is expected to be argued at the Supreme Court this fall. Ava Kian, CPR News.
A national group has honored a Colorado program that bridges the gap between climate change and health. Here's CPR health reporter John Daly.
The program is the University of Colorado's Diploma in Climate Medicine. It trains doctors, nurses, and other health professionals about climate change and its health impacts. Those include everything from air quality to intense heat to mosquito-borne diseases. The program took a top prize from a group called Eco America, winning $50,000. I'm John Daly, CPR News.
And in regional news, the Federal Bureau of Reclamation says this month it will begin releasing water from Flaming Gorge Reservoir in southwest Wyoming to boost water levels in a struggling Lake Powell. The agency says it will also reduce water coming out of Glen Canyon Dam downstream on the Colorado River. As Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yannis reports, that's in response to severe and persistent drought.
Reclamation estimates that water from Flaming Gorge, located on the Utah-Wyoming state line, will boost Lake Powell's elevation by over 50 feet over the next year. That would protect Glen Canyon Dam in northern Arizona, which could be damaged if water drops below a certain elevation.
But I think releases of water from the upper basin storage units, that's like a one-time thing, unless we happen to get some wet years in the future.
That's Chris Winter, an environmental attorney at CU Boulder's School of Law. He says reducing flows out of Glen Canyon Dam could also cause issues. Lower basin states like Arizona could decide to sue Reclamation and the Upper Basin for not delivering enough water under the Colorado River Compact of 1922.
The lawsuit in the Supreme Court is not going to solve the crisis we're in right now, and it's likely going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars and take years and years and years to get resolved.
Winter says that while short-term emergency action is necessary, this doesn't address the biggest question around the Colorado River's future. How will we cut water use in the face of a changing climate? Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
The U.S. has unanimously advanced three measures that seek to improve rural broadband. The Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez reports that lawmakers across our region helped push the measures through.
The bills could be a significant step toward closing the digital divide, especially for rural, low-income, and tribal communities where access to the internet can be spotty or expensive. The divide, lawmakers say, affects everything from access to education, employment, health care, and civic participation.
I commend my colleagues in the Western Caucus.
Utah Congresswoman Celeste Malloy, who chairs the conservative Congressional Western Caucus, says the bills would represent an investment in the future.
And livelihoods of rural America, the Western states, and our Western values.
The bills would create an interagency strike force to review applications for projects on public lands. They would also streamline the application process and establish a vetting procedure with the Federal Communications Commission to monitor and track broadband services. In Las Vegas, I'm Yvette Fernandez with the Mountain West News Bureau.
Soaring homeowner policy premiums have raised the profile of the insurance industry among state lawmakers and the public. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports that a nonprofit is trying to make the complex web of regulations easier to understand.
Insurance regulation is so complex in part because it's done state by state, meaning there are dozens of different schemes across the country. Here's Kenny Stancil with the advocacy group The Revolving Door Project, which recently published maps illustrating key policy differences between states.
Of all the people that you talk with about how their lives are being upended by non-renewals and rate hikes, how many out of 10 do you think would be able to tell you what type of rate approval process Idaho uses, let alone its neighbors?
Idaho has a so-called use and file system. Other states have file and use and prior approval systems. Wyoming is the only state with an open rating system. Stancil says these and other differences can have a big impact on premiums. The group also mapped out staffing and budget levels, as well as rules regarding how quickly former state insurance officials can start lobbying their former colleagues. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.